Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This show is sponsored in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 seconds, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Protect yourself with Simply Safe. Go to Simply Safe, two eyes, simplysafe.com/Adam. Choose the sensors you need and get help from their experts. They'll get the box out to your house. You'll be up and running in about half an hour. Get that custom system and a free security camera at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Well, we're going to catch up on Brian and Gina and their trials and tribulations from the vacation week, figure out where they went and what they did. Also, we got a caller who's he's a mailman, but he's an expert on threesomes because he's been in a lot of them. And it's going to bring an interesting perspective to our numbers breakdown. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working? How about you take your automotive policy and bundle it up with your homeowner's or your renter's insurance? And it's easy to do when you go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you get your bundle happening at Geico. That is geico.com.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, stuntman Eddie Braun. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, volleyball dad, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The show's beginning to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
You say when.
Let's see. Grateful. What am I grateful for? Well, volleyball. My daughter made the varsity team.
Hell yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. Now.
She's all balls.
What am I? I'm not. Was I telling you? I know I've talked about this story all those years ago when I was trying to convince her the coach didn't like her. Was I talking about that on this podcast recently?
A while ago. You should refresh people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it happened, it was like 3 years ago, maybe more.
Probably the last time. Maybe 2 years ago.
It's the only time a conversation has ever worked for me.
It's your achievement day.
Between me and someone younger than me.
You should stop having them.
Yeah.
You're batting average is low.
It's the only time, but it was a very simple thing. Now that she's made the varsity squad in the 10th grade, that's exciting. But
that's solid.
Came home one night, Natalia was lamenting to Lynette that she didn't make the volleyball team. This is probably 4 years ago now. And then made the proclamation that the coach doesn't like her.
Right.
Then I heard that. And usually the way we like to handle those things is, the coach is an asshole.
Swift backhand.
And then you leave. Right. But yeah. I stopped, and for some reason it was important to me. I don't do a lot of like, oh, this is a teachable moment. I've got to intervene. I keep walking.
We know.
But I stopped, and I just said, how many people tried out for the team? Said 20. I said, how many people made the team? She said, 10. And I said, and you didn't make it because the coach doesn't like you, but you don't know the coach, and the coach obviously wants the best players on their team.
It wasn't 19 people made it, and you didn't.
And then I did, I said, go up in the, picture yourself sitting in the stands in this gymnasium you're trying out in, and you're just watching. Where would you have had yourself on the power rankings if you didn't know you and you're just sitting up there and watching? And I think she said 10.
Oh.
And I said, well, that gets you pretty close to 11, and it's 11 is where they cut it. And she said, yeah. And I said, so we're kind of drifting from coach doesn't like you to maybe you're marginally better than the last person that made the
on the bubble
team, but you want to get that close to the cutoff, you definitely can get cut.
Yeah.
People can make the wrong decisions, or maybe they made the right decision. But I think we're out of the realm of the coach has a vendetta against you. So if you were, by your own admission, that close to the cutoff, then how could it be the coach? And she actually heard me and agreed. That was it.
And that was the last time.
Mark the twine.
Yes. Now here we are, and she's on the varsity team. Though, when she was waking me up this morning and informing me that I'd be driving her to school, even though her friend, best thing that can happen is when you befriend a 16-year-old with a license.
Yeah. Rides to school.
Had been picking her up, but somehow didn't happen today, and so she just woke me up and did that. Well, I'm telling you now. Tell me the night before, but all right. I'll drive you in, and then, of course, while driving in, I said, when's the next volleyball game? She said, today. Oh. I said, where is it? She said, local. I said, local? You're playing a local volleyball game? We don't have to drive to
within our county?
Inner bowels of the Matterhorn to watch you play?
So, local to Temecula.
Nope. Right. Local. I said, well, now that seems pretty doable. What time's the game? She said, no parents can watch.
Sounds great.
It's a COVID.
The one time.
It's a COVID thing. So
the one time you got to walk there.
Sure.
The local stuff, you cannot be in the grandstands for COVID, but you can. As long as you have to drive more than 70 miles, you can watch. But then I dropped her off. Then I got the call 25 minutes later, forgot the lunch.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
That's like, okay, where's the, now how do we do this? And again, the COVID thing fucks everything up. Like, can I just walk onto the school campus?
Of course
I need
not.
Some proof of ID.
Super spreader.
She said, no worries. There's a rack out front of the school.
It's just a disinfecting rack. They lower it into a bucket of Purell.
Barbicide.
So I walked out to the rack today and I saw all these packed backpacks with the canteens and the lunches. All, we're not the only loser family in the neighborhood. Someone else forgot their lunch in their backpack too. But I thought to myself, you couldn't put this rack in front of my high school. me and Ray would have been grazing immediately. We would have treated that rack like a golden corral. Like, we would have immediately went out there and just pilfered. We would have poached every decent looking.
Sure.
And by the way, lunches these days, hot thermos with nice, chicken and rice
she
and everything.
She brought Wagyu.
I know.
The nice ones have like compartments for warm stuff.
And bento
stuff
boxes.
Be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get rid of the peanut butter and jelly, and people are now having to go to stews and mixes and all sorts of other confections. So there was that. The other thing, I want to get into your guys' vacation time. I had this thought, or actually I yelled it at Mark Garagos during Reasonable Doubt yesterday, which is we were talking homeless. Mark has got his businesses downtown. It's all homeless. And what do we do with the homeless? And we're interviewing a politician. And here's the plan. And I just said, if I knew when I was 25 years old that the lion's shares of my adult conversations would either be about the homeless population, Afghanistan, or the transsexual community, I would have put a fucking bullet in my mouth and I would have been right to do it at the time. I realized.
Well, don't forget global warming.
Global warming.
Climate change.
Yeah, well, I got a heavy dose of that in the 70s from my mom.
It's in your past.
My point is first off, we always talk about the homeless problem. Like, what about the homeless problem? We never really talk about how much we talk about the homeless problem. I mean, it is forced into your lexicon.
True.
Like, you must discuss, And You know, when I was growing up, there was always the one bum guy who was pushing a shopping cart, but his name was Rick.
Everybody knew who he was.
But we didn't sit down and have long, you know, we didn't break off into discussion groups about what we're going to do with Rick. It was like, there's Rick, you know, walk on the other side of the street. But
we had a Tom.
Between that, the transgendered community, and Afghanistan, which I don't think I could find on a map, I've had, there's been more discussion in the last 20 years. And it's really kind of interesting, because if you really like kind of break your life, you know, you have a limited amount of time, you would like to be talking about your family or your favorite band or your favorite restaurant or something.
Or vacation.
Sorry.
Wouldn't you rather be talking about that?
Right. And we're going to. But the point is this. But it has dragged. I realize I've talked about the homeless thing. You know, 42% of the conversations I have with Dr. Drew is like, oh, I'm driving. Oh, boy, there's a big encampment over here in Cahuenga. Like, blah, blah, blah. Now we have to break down. There's a guy. He's living out of an oven. Oh, well, where'd he get that oven? Now we're delving into these people's lives that we went, and you have to kind of picture everything. Where are these guys shit? You know, like now, oh my, I gotta wipe your ass with a banana leaf, you know. Just, it's a lot of energy and a lot of focus. I mean, and for this town alone, and you know, I'm guilty of doing it now, but I just mean like schools, trash. You know, education, crime, you know, the electrical grid, water, like all the kinds of stuff you could be talking about. We've been talking about homeless for 7 years, nonstop.
It's a good time to remember. My ballot came for the recall. I don't know about you guys. Angeline did make the list as someone you could vote for governor. Also, when you were talking about Afghanistan, it reminded me, Patton Oswalt tweeted this out, quoting E.O. Wilson, and I thought this was so brilliant. It says, the real problem of humanity is the following. We have Paleolithic emotions, medieval institutions, and godlike technology. I mean, that's the math problem.
That is it. And I was thinking about the sort of weird irony that we're talking about. You know, we packed up and left so fast that the Taliban got hold of a lot of our weapons and drones and things like that. But it's like,
perfect.
Drone
show. What is a drone to somebody who's from the 8th century, you know, or what is, I mean, obviously on a higher level, you couldn't fly, you could leave all the F-22 Raptors behind, but if you didn't have experienced pilots and people knew how to read the manuals and repair them and service them and blah, blah, it's just literally a static, might as well be an outhouse, but anyway, thoughts. All right, should we start with Brian, who went to Maui?
Yeah.
Maui was awesome. I alluded to this a couple times over the last couple months, because remember you guys, Adam, you and Laxmana and everyone had your flight to Alaska canceled or rescheduled, whatever it was. And this is happening all over. I've been hearing about it from everyone. This happened to me 3 or 4 times. But my 10 a.m. perfect direct flight to Maui was, got an email, said, oh, sorry, your flight's been changed. And now it's a 3 p.m. departure. And I'm like, oh, no, 5 p.m. I'm like, I'm not fucking getting to Maui, whatever it is, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. That's not going to happen. So, 4:45 a.m. wake up call to get to LAX in time for a 6 a.m. connecting flight. I mean, I want to get there early, but you know, pick your poison at that point.
Anyway, you're connecting is essentially going backwards.
Seattle or something, or Portland. Oh, San Francisco. Yeah.
There's the
connection flight when you have the direct is that's going from a recliner to a beanbag chair, essentially, in life. But, yeah, and there's an article, and maybe we'll get it out at some point, but Mike August was always talking about the airline shifting everything around and trying to turn a buck and everything.
4 or 5 times.
It's on, and it's there for them to recoup their losses.
Yes, and, you know, we've talked about this in the past, like, what's going on with this? And, you know, I've reported on different reasons this is happening. I found a new reason. Or was it? Did August say this? Somebody said it's becoming cheaper to book round trip tickets as opposed to one way. So people are booking round trip, so it looks full, and they're not flying back.
Oh,
so it's confusing the shit out of everybody and all of the manifests.
Interesting. So Hawaii is very strict and very on the ball with their travel protocols, right? Like, it's crazy. I don't know if you guys have heard. You guys hear about this? You heard about this? So
I have a story about it.
So if you're
I will.
Oh, okay, nice. So if you, I'm going to get this right. So if you're not vaccinated, if you have no vaccine, you must have a negative test within 48 hours and quarantine for 10 days. That's your fucking vacation. You might as well not even do it. If you are vaccinated, which they want everyone to be, obviously, then there's a whole multi-step process where you have to upload your vaccination card to like a special Hawaii travel website. You get to the airport and you show them the QR code from that upload. They verified it. You show it to the gate agent. They give you a special wristband. Wristband basically says it's a green wristband. I can go into the state of Hawaii. I can leave the airport and enter the, you know, whatever island you're flying to. If you don't do it, Kaylin, get that first video ready. If you don't get that wristband like at the gate before your flight, you need to get the wristband one way or the other to get onto the island. And you need to do it at the Maui airport. Kaylin, show them the line for people who didn't get the wristband before the flight. There's people in Maui.
We're looking at a mass of humanity.
Look at that. Wow. It looks like the Matterhorn on its worst day at Disneyland.
Yeah, when you're entering customs in London and it's a bad day, that's what it looks like.
It's crazy. Wow. That's people who are there for vacation at 11 in the morning. Like, here I am in Maui. Just kidding. You'll be here for 2 more hours. So luckily we had the wristbands gone on the island. It's been a tough year and a half for everyone. Mm. COVID and blah, blah, blah. Delta.
Recap.
Yeah, so I decided no keto, no NSNG for the week. I'm going full bore with the drinks.
With the bar, with the drinks, with
beer. The local beer is excellent. Mm-hmm. Right there. The sushi rice, with everything is getting consumed by me. And God, it was glorious.
Yeah.
I missed it all so much.
Yeah. Well, you don't look like you put on any weight.
I feel bloated, but I don't think I actually put on any pounds.
I'm sorry. Was the side eye to me necessary when you said that to Brian?
It was more of the stink eye, but okay. I realize you can misinterpret a side eye or stink eye every once in a while.
Maybe it's because I spent most of our time at the adult pool, the Serenity pool. It's like an infinity pool. Mm-hmm. Then we did the kids pool, the adventure pool. It's got the
I'm sorry. What facility were you?
We're in Wailea. We're at the Wailea Beach Resort, which is a Marriott property. It's kind of middle of the road. Wailea is where they have the Fairmont, the Grand Wailea, and the Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. Ours is a little more middle of the road, but it's still very nice. Mm-hmm. They have the two tallest water slides in Maui. Or in all of Hawaii.
But you don't like adventure.
I love adventure.
Why didn't you go snorkeling with us?
I like mild adventure.
Snooba.
Water slides are my speed. All right. So we did water slides, and then, of course, we did the beach. So it was pretty active, actually, all things considered. Masks. You're asked to wear masks every time you're indoors, but nothing in Wailea is really indoors. Like, everything's open air to some extent. Right. There's always an empty wall that's just open.
Loophole.
Yes.
The employees, however, at least at our hotel and everywhere we went, masks everywhere, whether they're outside by the pool, whether they're gardeners, whether they're housekeeping, they're wearing masks all the time. So I guess that was hotel policy or whatever it was.
I just had that at the track. Everyone who worked there, everyone who worked all the events, the parties and the quail and the Acura party, all the staff, everyone wore a mask. No human being at that track wore a mask. Nobody showed up to that car race or to watch it wore a mask, but everyone else, all the staff was masked up.
It was beautiful. It was 87 degrees every day. Kaylin, show the sunset video. This was the sunset pretty much every night. For the beauty of the view from our balcony, so we just had this to look at.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Just magnificent. You can see all the people lined up just to take pictures.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's spectacular.
The hoi polloi that didn't have a balcony view.
That's right. They had to walk from their room. Yeah. I listen to podcasts when I drive to and from work, which I did not do for a year plus. So I spent almost the entire time. Chris, you read books. I listen to podcasts. It was really cool to catch up.
What was your favorite episode of Easy Listening with Teresa?
It was weird to listen to hear you guys talk about the pandemic at the time. It's like, we lived through this a year ago.
That's funny.
Which I assume you did.
Yeah, thank you.
And then on the way back, the Maui airport was an unmitigated disaster. So put up the picture, Kaylin. We're on the pre-check. There's no clear. We're on the pre-check side. And you can see it took us about 15 minutes. I don't know if Kaylin can zoom in or if he can see. That is just a massive humanity waiting to get through security.
Oh, we see it. We
kind of we chatted up one of the agents. We're like, oh, yeah, that's a three-hour line.
There's some places, Hawaii's this way and Mexico's this way, which is you go from the best, the sunsets and the drinks and the food and eating lots of papaya and stuff like that. But that drive to the airport.
You got the Benz.
You get the Benz. It's like, it is, if it was Burbank Airport or even SFO or something like that, you could negotiate. You go from walking alone on a beach and looking at the sunset, drinking a Mai Tai, just throngs of humanity.
Crushing
and people,
together.
People yapping at you mm-hmm. to do stuff. And it's, I don't know. I don't know if there's some connection between the kind of the nicer the destination, the less the airport needs to kind of keep up with the Joneses. But I've experienced that in Maui as well. And it's always like, it's the worst. Like, you're packing, you're arguing, you're running late. There's a lot of like,
why did we get there so early? I'm telling you, we do.
Right. A lot of, where's the car? Mm-hmm. Where are we dropping the car off? All that.
We did not rent a car. Number one, rentals out there, I'm sure you've all heard, are crazy. They're expensive. Or people are renting fucking U-Hauls. So we just Ubered. Well, we didn't leave Wailea pretty much. So we just Ubered to and from the airport. Never had to pay for parking, which is fucking $40 a day.
Oh, right.
Rental car. It ended up being a good financial decision.
Good.
Gina, where'd you go?
I went to Big Bear with the little guy. So we officially have a six-year-old in the house, and he's not a typical boy. Doesn't want a birthday party. Last year, he had a butt day party, which we decorated the living room with butts. This year, it was a surprise.
I like to have a butt day party.
Well, I guess the options this year were penis party, nipple party, and snot party. And Andy allowed booger party. So, because we weren't going to have penises. They call child servicers.
Right.
So we had a booger
Booger's
party.
Way worse.
It says happy booger day. Little Kleenex is everything. This one, he's six. This is what he wants. So we did that. We had fun. And then grandma flew in, Andy's mom, which is the little guy's hero. And she's a science teacher. And it's
Where's
perfect.
Where's she from?
Minnesota, of course.
Oh, nice.
So we all
Minnesota mom.
Yeah, that's her. We piled in my sub and drove up to Big Bear. It was beautiful. Just put up whatever you have, Kaylin. I don't know the order you have it. So I last year we stayed in this tiny little cabin. It was so depressing. Oh, I love being outside. See, I never post full pictures of myself, but can you please just throw me a bone? You see a little extra more curviness now instead of one solid rectangle, yes?
A lot of natural beauty in that photo.
Thank
a lot of natural
you.
Beauty. Mm-hmm.
That's about 18 pounds down from
really?
When we came back, yeah.
What's the goal for the wedding?
I don't necessarily have one, but I'd like so I have a dress fitting next Sunday and then I have to stop whatever I'm doing. I would love to lose another 5 pounds, realistically. I can't do 10 pounds in 10 days. Like
you got a month plus, right?
Yeah.
You can do it.
No, the fitting is in a week and a half.
Oh, the fitting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the focaccia smoothie, and I'm doing the light dinner, and I have a little coffee right here. But I'm fine. I feel good. So I rented this beautiful cabin, and it was great. It felt very decadent, 3-bedroom. The kid got the best room, bunk beds, foosball table, basketball hoop.
Tessa's like a year younger, and she loves bunk beds.
Oh,
like that's what she wants in her new house.
She's
I want stairs and a bunk bed.
Stairs!
Stairs!
Why are stairs? So, next year, can we have a cabin with stairs?
Yes.
What is wrong with these children?
The good news is, with the bunk beds, when I was growing up, there was just a bunk bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the one from the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And it was one bed on top of the other
right.
bed. That was the only configuration that existed, and you're on your own with the ladder.
He has a slide at home.
Oh, yeah.
Now there's 375 bunk bed options and configurations with drawers and holders and spaces and slides and ladders.
That's,
like, it is a whole thing.
That's what he has at home. This bunk bed, it was a full, beautiful, the most comfortable bed in the whole cabin. Beautiful, full bed on the bottom, regular bunk bed on the top. I said, which one did you sleep on? Both. He would get up in the middle of the night so excited and switch up and down.
He pissed himself.
I'm sure he did.
did you guys, when you were growing up, well, so first off, when I was growing up, if you were under 18, you're on your own in the bed department. You had a miniature bed. That was your bed. It was someone else's bed before it was your bed, and was your bed.
In college, I had a twin bed.
There was no discussion of comforters or pillows or whatever. It's just that's the bed. The bed was in the house, and it's in your room, and that's your bed.
Yeah.
We used to – we had a uncle, cousin Vince, and the Bruno family lived in a apartment in Santa Monica, and I remember very distinctly driving home from his apartment. We drive at night, and there was a big bed there's a big bedding warehouse with a big glass in front of it. They always leave the lights on. And I always remember seeing the race car bed side window of my dad's VW Bug. And I was like, what kind of golden child receives a bed in the shape of a race car? But you got to go in. It's probably $140. Like,
you pick your color.
God, like, it wasn't even, you know, it's sad that I wasn't even envious. I was confused. Mm-hmm. I was like, who?
How would this
for a movie set? Or
yeah, that's
set?
Not for sale. No one would want that. I mean,
a museum.
I did know a guy who had a football helmet lamp, and I thought that's as far as you could go cool kid department. That's a football helmet with a lamp coming out
Mickey
of it.
Mouse phone. That's the top of the line.
You've reached the top of the kid mountain with that.
Right.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, no, we were going to get him a race car bed from his crib, but then Granny, who's a science teacher, was like, you know, after a while, he's going to probably get made fun of for still sleeping in a race car. So we got him aloft.
Yeah, it's got a short shelf life.
Yeah.
Plus, really, what kind of message is that sending? You know, well, at some point, the kid's 16, he's got his permit, jumps in the car, and is like,
night.
I'm going to catch a few Z's once I get on the freeway. I think I can catch up on it a little bit. Yeah.
He saved his life.
You're sleeping in a car your whole life. You got to drive.
Like Homer Simpson riding a bed down the road,
dragging a fence.
That is one of my favorite lines of all time. I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm just going to turn on the heat, roll down the windows, and put on the Lullaby Channel. So we found this restaurant that we are now obsessed with. I guess everybody in Big Bear knows it. This outdoor sort of hillbilly shit kicking amazing restaurant called Wyatt's. A lot of line dancing, a lot of cowboy hats, a lot of big, you know, three stack burgers. Put up the burger picture, Chris. Andy just wanted to go light.
Oh, I know Wyatt's.
Do you really?
Well, no, we've driven by there and it's like always packed.
Okay, it's so you see the bottom bun, there's a burger underneath it. So that's the kind of food Andy's already pre-horrified. And there was line dancing. Go ahead and show that video. The perfect dance for white people. It's just step up, step down, step back. Everybody's having a good time. The band was called Southern Spirit. A lot of Skynyrd. Everyone just having a blast.
Line dancing is basically
sound. That's okay.
Line dancing is sort of like going, how can I dance for 2 hours, 3 nights a week and still be fat?
Yes.
I've invented a dance that will accommodate that.
I got my steps in for the day.
Yeah, it doesn't work for break dancing. It doesn't work for freestyling, but line dancing,
you are so right. And the women there, the Cougs were on the prowl in Big Bear.
Wow.
A lot of older ladies with little jean shorts, cowboy boots, the push-up bras. I loved every second of it. Just pick another one. Any dealer's choice, Kaylin. So you weren't the only one who raced this weekend, Adam.
You went go-karting.
We went to Alpine Slide Adventure, which was amazing.
When the snow melts, they stop skiing and they start racing.
It's so smart. There's this, and there's tons of alpine slides, which we did, which are so awesome.
I damn near killed myself on one. Those things, the alpine slide will fuck you up.
Well, it's up to you if you get fucked up, because you're in charge of the speed.
It is true, but at the end of the man show retreat or whatever we had about 15 people up there, and it was just me and Tom, the insane guy, pulled out a fake dick in the subway and sprayed pee all over people. Like Tom, anyway, he grew up around an alpine slide. I just grew up sort of being ballsy. And it came down to he and I at the end. And you realize the only way to beat the guy in the lane next to you is to never touch the brake.
Did you get air?
I just literally, now everyone had road rash all over the side of them. Everyone dragged their elbows. Everyone rolled off the thing.
Yeah.
Everyone was jacked up. And I was like, there's only one, and money was being bet. I was like, the only way to win this race is to literally remove your foot from the brake, lay down in the prone position, and just pray you stay on this thing, because you will get yourself fucked up on those slides.
It's true. I loved it. I didn't touch the brake either. And there was a new coaster there called the Mineshaft Coaster. And it is a real roller coaster, but you control the brake. Well, the little one is not, he's working on his bravery. And I said, come with me. Just come with me and trust me. So he went with me twice. I never touched the brake. I was actually getting nervous. And he would, I would say, whenever you get scared, this is what we're going to do. We're going to scream, never touch the brake. So we're screaming it the whole way down. He's laughing. We go on again, which is another 30 bucks
again,
a pop.
Between the race car bed and the decree of never touching the brake, I just don't feel like this guy's going to be safe when he gets his license.
Oh, now I'm worried. But he had a blast. Then we went putt-putt mini golfing, which he'd never done before. Andy was thrilled because Andy's like, his whole family's like pro golfers. A lot of cheating with the little one, but we had a good time.
Are they really pros or are they like pro level?
No, like his sister teaches. Wow. They were on some circuit of things that I don't understand. I'm not a golfer. And finally, I did the thing that every family has to do. We rented a pontoon.
Wow.
And it was so much fun. Hey, if you're listening, you're going to Big Bear, spring for the luxury pontoon. I've seen the regular ones. They're not worth the $90. Mm. Go another 30 bucks. It was gorgeous on the lake. We had the best time. It was beautiful. I'm driving with my legs crossed like a proper lady. And it was just a beautiful couple of days getting out of LA. And it was the little one's birthday present. I promise him every year I take him to the cabin for his birthday. And we had a great time.
Wow, man. You got a lot of goddamn activities in a very short period of time.
Yeah. We don't mess around. That's the thing. I mean, I can lay around at home. I'm on season 13 of Sister Wives. I want to go and I want to do everything. And I want him to have a memorable birthday and have a great time.
Miserable.
Yeah.
I got to say, the only thing about the activity-filled vacation, because I was experiencing this, when I got back from the track Sunday night, we got here Sunday night, and everyone's arguing over steaks in the parking lot. Sure. And then at some point, got in my car.
Yes, high stakes.
And Sonny got in, and we were like driving back. And you know, your view of the world, your view of time when you're older versus younger. If anyone made the trip from LA to the Bay Area when there were nine, it was like forever just in the car, just forever. I've been going back and forth to Monterey for 15 years now. I don't even think about the ride anymore. It's the ride there, the ride back. Like, I even remember, you know, on our third trips, like, oh, back, oh, such a long ride. You know, so time is relative.
Yes.
And subjective. And we got in the car, and then Sonny said, man, I have this weird feeling. It's like we just left today. Like, I have this weird feeling. He's a kid. And I was like, I have that feeling, too. And Matt Moderator kind of said, yeah, it all flew by. And I realized if you plan if you're running from event to event and activity to activity, and for us, it's like you got to get up at 7:30. We got to be at the track. The first run group's going off at 9:15. Yep. And then once you get out of the car, we're going to hightail it to the Quail. And then we got the Acura party that night. Right. We got to hustle it up.
Yeah, let's get your itinerary.
This like steep itinerary. The whole thing just flies by. Now, it's fun, and you're doing as much shit as humanly possible.
You're not savoring in the moment.
But I'll bet you Brian's few days went slower than your few days because he was listening to podcasts and sitting out on the balcony thinking about life.
Yes. We had the conversation. Chris had the conversation. Every year, because we did the similar vacation, every year around Tuesday, we're like, it's only Tuesday.
That's so great.
It feels like I've been here for a week.
But that's the thing. This was all for the little one. If this was Andy and I, we don't do shit. I know somebody who I won't be friends with anymore. I certainly won't travel with, because one time we traveled, she emailed everyone a spreadsheet of our itinerary.
Don't
and I said, I'm not participating and I'll never travel with this person again. My thing is, you can plan one thing a day. One. So one day was go-karts and we stopped. Or no, one day was the pontoon.
It was a burger.
There's go-karts on the way home. Let's just do it.
Spontaneity.
So you do not put a spreadsheet on these vacations.
All right. Well, we have some interesting calls up there. One from the aforementioned Monterey. The other is going to weigh in on a threesome because he's had plenty of threesomes.
Can I finish it up with a weird coincidence? Both of our significant others, Gina, over the vacation had a weird experience with a gigantic burger. We went out to dinner and Chris is like, I feel like a burger. I'm looking at the burger. Didn't say on the menu it was a double burger.
Wow.
We have to post this. This is fantastic.
Like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Both horrified and pre-disgusted.
Yeah.
That's great.
Man, that looks great. All right. Let me hit Simply Safe. Simply Safe's founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, they designed their first security system in their kitchen because their friend's home was broken into. Yeah, I think they went to an Ivy League and none of the systems were any good. So they made their own. making people feel safe is what they've been doing since that moment 15 years ago. Passion to protect people drives every engineering detail and customer interaction. SimpliSafe has highly trained security experts ready whenever you need them during a fire, burglary, medical emergency, or just setting up the system. My listeners can get 20% off and get your first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam. You can customize your system and start protecting your home and family. That is two eyes in there. simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. We've got some good calls up there. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Arugula.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, got some calls up there. I'll start at the top with Chris, line one. Move our way down. Monterey, 37. Did you get out and enjoy the cars, or are you one of the locals that was pissed off that your town was invaded?
Ace, you know, I'm so sad to not be a car guy, so I didn't really get out for any of that. But I did walk around downtown to try to see you at, you know, maybe a bar or something like that. It just didn't pan out.
Yeah, we never got to downtown Monterey this year. We're so busy going to events and at the track and then at Pebble on the beach.
You're not going to be at a bar you have to pay for. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. We go to the Acura bar. What's going on?
Hey, so I really respect just about everything that you say on a lot of things, and I wanted to get your opinion on why we tell individuals that are going to have an interaction with the police just to comply. It's not that hard. Everybody's going to live through the experience. Everything's going to be fine. And then for COVID, for the more seemingly arbitrary rules, we kind of take the opposite stance on that. Don't be a sheep. Don't do what you're told. It's kind of dumb. So I would just really love to hear you kind of work that out for me. I love you and love the show. Thanks, guys.
Interesting. Well, thanks. I'll take my answer off the air.
Bye.
Well, first things first. I do not look at cops as cops. Look at them as 26-year-old dudes with a gun.
Right.
That's I would always. I mean, the way you would treat a guy with a gun. Let's just say a 26-year-old guy.
Okay, let's everyone calm down.
And like you're in the parking lot, and you're like, "Hey, douche, this is my parking space." He's like, "I was waiting on that." Well, you were like. If the guy had a gun, you would not be coming at that guy. You would tend to go, take the parking space. And you could go, it's wrong. Like, I was here first, and I was waiting for this space. But sadly, he's the one with the gun.
Reality on reality's turn.
I always defer to the guy with the gun. Yeah. But I'm not doing that because I love cops. I'm doing that just to prevent them pulling the gun out and doing something.
It's not just a 26-year-old with a gun. It's a 26-year-old with a gun who faced almost no legal consequences for using said gun. If it came to that.
Yes. So that's number one. The COVID stuff, my thing is, you know, they tell you to wear it inside the hotel or inside the restaurant or, you know, I grab my stupid mask running to the school trying to figure out where I'm dropping off Natalia's lunch today. I don't wear it on the horse trail. But I also drive through left turn, red arrows, and don't come to complete stops. I mean, at a certain point, you're going to have to do a certain amount of, like, self-governing. There's a whole bunch of shit that's in your house that wouldn't pass muster, especially in California. There's a bunch of code shit. If you went to anyone's house, I guarantee there's things in your house that you would get flagged on, but you weigh the risk and figure out, you know, at a certain point, you're in charge of your own safety. So
in both cases.
Yeah, in both cases. So that's the way I feel. The man, and by the way, the cop pulling you over and giving you a speeding ticket doesn't feel like government overreach. shutting down restaurants and bars, eating outside or walking on the beach or got paddle boarding in the bay or something. That feels like a gross overreach.
But and also just to add to your point on the other side of that, you know, a team of people coming to scream at a Trader Joe's employee, I think is insane to all of us.
Yes, I agree. People shouldn't be nearly as animated as they are. Did that help, Chris? Oh, it's Chris.
Yeah, that was great.
He's walking around downtown.
I really appreciate your insight.
Good for you.
Yeah, I just don't wear a mask outside. And by the way, there's no science to suggest that even does anything. I was yelling at, I don't know who on the ride home. We're a year and a half in. Where are all the mask studies? Where are all the studies? Shouldn't we have we never stop talking about masks, right? Shouldn't we have 2,000 studies on masks and what they do and if they work or they right. don't work or how they work?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, from what I've heard, if you have the N95 and it's properly fitted
right.
and you use it correctly, then it's effective. The paper ones are not very effective, and the way we use them is insanely ineffective. And it's like I walked into a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf or something yesterday. I'm wearing the mask because I'm standing in line at the counter. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is sitting in the place with no mask on.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
What
you're
science?
Seeing, you can't get COVID.
What right. science are we discussing with this? All right.
Oh, before I forget, here's your gifts.
Ooh, thank
everyone
you.
Everyone got macadamia.
Oh,
enough
delicious!
For
thank
I love
you.
It. And by the way, I was thinking about
dry roast it.
I was thinking about
Hawaiian sea salt.
My stances on iced tea and, you know, putting cream in coffee instead of fucking French vanilla sweetener and everything, like how, you know, coffee is a flavor and iced tea is a flavor and stop fucking with everything. He brought a sack of macadamia and onion and
it was a garlic and Maui onion.
Fucking works. I'm down with that.
I could have chosen from any number of, you know, glazed or whatever. I'm
no.
like, we get the most closely to the most local.
Rethunk my stance.
Okay.
Anthony Fresno, 37.
Adam.
Carolla.
Ace man, good to talk to you.
Yeah, man.
I want to kiss your ass real quick before we start, if that's okay.
All right.
It's okay. He'll allow it.
Yeah, limit it to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, all of you. You all are wonderful. And this show started about the same time I started a job with a lot of isolated hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you've definitely helped me through it and, you know, make the whole thing much more pleasurable. So thank you.
What was the job?
And you all. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
What was the job? Warehouse or something?
Cam girl.
Rural mailman. So I'm out in the middle of the country for several hours, just kind of by myself.
That is, I swear to God, I was listening yesterday to a Steve Carell interview. He said his first job was rural mailman, and he got fired because he was so bad at sorting it, trying to figure out the routes. It was a nightmare. So hats off to you.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I've heard that too. And I also heard that he, because you have to do it in your car sometimes,
yes.
that he found old letters underneath his car seat.
When he moved, he found mail.
Yeah, they frown upon that.
Oh, yeah. Rural, I said it's a rom-com.
Rural mailman pre-earbuds and Walkman and whatever was.
GPS?
Yeah, but just in terms of the job.
Isolation.
Like, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever had one of those jobs. I used to have those jobs all the time where, like, I got dropped off at what is now the Pier 1 Imports on Wilshire and 26th Street in Santa Monica or something. I just got dropped off alone there on a couple occasions. And first job was I opened the door, it's 10,000 square foot, and there's like tar stuck to the floor because the old tile squares. And I just got the scraper tool, and the guys are like, all right, start scraping. And he just left.
This
is, you know, 9 hours of just literally scraping.
You're in a chain gang by yourself.
Carpet cleaning was that way. I went to that same place a few weeks later, and it was literally the job was there is a pile of dirt the size of two VW buses on that side of the parking lot. On the other side of the parking lot is a dumpster. Get that dirt into that dumpster and do not leave until it's in. Here's a wheelbarrow and here's a shovel. Now, it is insanely torture, and you're all alone, and there's nothing to do. But if I had some earbuds and a couple of pods loaded up,
they would fly by.
Wouldn't think about it.
Yeah.
Or I'd learn another language or something. All that stuff pre-earbud and pods and Walkman and stuff would just tantamount to torture. Sorry, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So thank you for, you know, just for everything you guys do. And the reason I'm calling is to weigh in on this debate, the threesome versus the 1-8 debate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have experience in this?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Somewhere in the low double digits, I guess, not counting an 8-year throuple I was in.
8 years? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so everyone's idea of how threesome works, from what I've heard, everyone kind of giving their opinion, you guys are doing it wrong. Even Vinny, I love you out there. You helped me lose some weight, but you did your threesome wrong. And I don't want to sound braggadocious. I'm not trying to come off like that, you know. If his idea and a lot of people's idea seem to be, all right, you go for the, if you have a 6 and a 4, you go for the 6 and just have sex with her until you finish, and then you just kind of push through your refractory period, and then you turn your full attention to the second one. That is absurd to me. Like,
fool's errand.
You know,
Working harder.
Go ahead.
A fool's errand.
Yes.
Well, it's just, that's not really a threesome. Why don't you just have sex with one person and then just go to another room and have sex with another person? I mean, like, there's no difference.
Yes.
Yes.
If
I
you
agree.
Have two people who are willing to do a threesome, they're going to kind of be into each other as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, this isn't, of course, a rule of thumb, but so there are plenty of actions and positions that all three of you will be enjoying together.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's a 6 and a 4, it's kind of magical compared to 1-8. You know, yes, 1-8 is great. You know, nobody can debate that, but just like a 3-way kiss, something about just something simple like a 3-way kiss, just you cannot duplicate.
Mm.
I can't even picture it.
And being an 8-year throuple, are we calling
it?
Yes.
How does that work?
We didn't call it that at the time. I never heard that, but you know, it was
that's
relationship. Let's put it that
parlance
way.
Parlance now.
Who? So were the two gals kind of into each other equally?
With any relationship, things can get rocky. And so at the end, kind of drifted apart. But yes, for the first several years, they were completely into each other like a couple.
And did you end up sticking with one? Are you part of just a couple now with one of them?
Well, I put a ring on one of them a year before, so I'm still with that one, yes.
The other one's up for blood.
Yeah, I'd change your name.
Is this possible to pull off without somebody getting jealous, having feelings? You know,
asking awful lot of questions there, Ace.
I know.
Yeah, Anthony thinks he knows. I'm on season 13 of Sister Wives, so I can tell you that it is impossible. According to, even if you're doing it because it's Heavenly Father's plan, there's still jealousy. Am I right, Anthony?
Yeah, even, you know, but we tried to avoid that. Of course, you know, we did our best. Like, we were completely honest and open, like, and we actually encouraged the second girl. Like, we weren't trying to lock her. This is not Sister Wives where we go, no, you're only mine. Like, no, we encouraged her to date other people. Oh. Like, you know, we did not try to, like, control her life. And she did, and just had some bad experiences. So she voluntarily gave up on it. And, you know, turned her attention to us, and then I think resented us for that, even though we didn't really force her to, but, you know.
Give us some standard threesome position / activities. What is a standard
one? Okay, one I like is if I'm standing up and behind one of the girls, and she is going down on the second girl who's lying down, you know, face up.
That's your mission.
So
she's called the short straw.
If you want to do the 6 and 4 math, if you're, you know, behind the 4, then you're staring at the 6 and having the best of both worlds.
There we go.
Another one is if a guy's lying down and there's a girl on his face and a girl on his crotch and they're making out, that's pretty magical too.
And they can be 2 4s at that point because you can't see anything.
Yeah, where do we put the 6 and the 4 in that position?
If weight has something to do with it, then you definitely want the skinnier one on your face.
Suffocate.
I put the six on the is a six on the face facing the door or facing the wall?
Facing the girl who's on your rod.
I mean, yeah, you can face either way, but it's better. Like, they are more engaged if they're facing each other, right. Then they can,
All right, I put the six on the rod in case the roommate bursts in. He gets a better shot. Okay. Thinks you're dealing that's with fair. A higher you know class of clientele.
That's right. Fair.
You know what I mean? Because you're going to be making a lot of noise. Yeah. People get curious.
You're not.
Right.
It's going to be muffled.
And that's what makes you unselfish, Ace. That's very, thoughtful of you.
I'm thinking about the roommate.
Yeah.
So you say, as a man who's seasoned in the threesomes, break it down 6'4", if you can go 10 max?
6'4 or 5'5. I think those are both good. Because when people say 5, they go, like, no, that's halfway to, between a 0 and the perfect girl. I mean, right.
Most people
brag about a 5.
Yeah.
But guess what? If you tell the story to your buddies and they're like, how are they? And you're like, they were fine. They're still going to enjoy that story and think you're the man. If you try to brag about bagging an 8, they're not going to believe you. They're going to be like, oh yeah, sure, she was an 8, and roll their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have that bonus too.
What was your throuple? What kind of numbers did they break down to?
Let me guess, the wife a 9, the previous girl a 1.
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, I got the second girl at her prime, definitely. So she was bare minimum 7, ooh, maybe an 8. And I'll say the other one, 6 to 7. Let's try to be conservative.
Are these Fresno numbers, or is this the universal scale?
L.A., 3 and 4, I guess.
Okay,
no, I'm kidding. I don't know.
I get it.
Wow.
No, they're both definitely, nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
8 years you're able to pull this off.
I don't know how. I guess I'm a decent guy somewhere down there, but, not decent enough to keep it going in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
But you're now wife, right?
Yes.
Are you guys looking for, and I'm not offering, I'm just wondering, you looking for a new girl, or she's like, you know what, we're done with that?
Well, actually, after that, I was done with that for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she, after a couple of years, just kind of opened the door again. She got bored of not, the extracurriculars. So we kind of, I guess, opened up the door again.
Do you,
so we're kind
do you
of
take that personally?
Swimming those oceans again.
Do you take that personally that she wanted somebody else to join back in?
Yeah, the 25-year-old 8 and the Daisy Dukes is such a slap in the face when you've been married for a while, Brian. You know, right?
I shudder to even think that my relationship should go there.
You just think, I think we should add somebody else in the mix. It's getting a little old.
Well,
insulting.
There's a way to interpret it. I mean, it's basically up there when someone goes, oh, you've lost weight. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go, you thought I was fat, or you can go, I guess I lost weight. Yeah. Like, there's a couple ways you can look at that. The danger is if she's using this as an excuse to be with a woman. Like, if she just wants a sanctioned lesbian experience.
Yeah. This is gateway sex.
Yes. Is that a possibility, Anthony?
Well, no, she's definitely into girls. Like, there's no lying about that. She, we've been doing it since we were in high school, so I kind of know exactly her proclivities. So she definitely isn't like she gets.
Hold on a second. Women, they get to use the excuse.
Mm.
I don't even know if I've ever spoken to a woman who's like, I'm not into women, but Angelina Jolie. I mean, she's so beautiful.
Right.
She's so beautiful. Or you pick the whoever.
How could anyone not want to?
Even a girl at a party,
know,
like you'd go, like, I'm that's not my thing. Like women, but like, look at her. Mm-hmm. God, I would, definitely do that.
Girls say that to each other as a compliment. Like, I'm not a lesbian, but you are amazing.
And then we all just go.
I'm about to hear that again.
We all just go, oh yeah, she's super hot.
Right.
Like, I totally get it. But I don't think I could ever go, like, Lou Ferrigno. He's getting up there, but he keeps after himself. I would definitely suck him off. You know, and then you'd be there as my girl going, oh, yeah, I totally vibe with that. Like, I understand. Why are we not allowed to just pick good-looking dudes and announce the other direction?
It's time for a change.
I wish I could agree with you, but I'm on tape many times talking about Michael Biehn.
That's true.
Sorry.
So uncomfortable.
All right. Yeah, with Kalen wandering the halls. Anthony?
He doesn't listen.
Yes, sir.
I like the cut of your jib. You've been able to pull this off.
Yes.
So is there now a third in the boudoir?
No one official. It's a lot more casual now. We're not doing the relationship thing anymore.
And what do we do? Do we go online these days or do we head to the bar?
We mostly online, just kind of chatting people up and, just very slowly broaching the subject for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And
apparently, we actually went to a party last week where everyone is kind of, tapping on the nose. Everybody knows. So that was a lot easier. We got some numbers there.
Nice.
And what's the protocol? So if you get a number, do you guys like all go out to a Golden Corral or something and hang out, like see if you vibe, or is you just meet at the house?
Well, we like to get people that we get along with. There are some people, just like people that just hook up, like, just a couple, but we're not really into that. We want people that are, not weirdos, so we definitely try to meet them up over beer or drinks or dinner before that.
But Anthony, admit it, as many threesomes as you've had, you've definitely indulged in some crazy pussy. That she's so hot and she's nuts, but you don't care because you just want to do it anyway?
That's the story of my life with one or two of my coworkers. So I'm currently playing that game, unfortunately.
Other mailmen?
One male carriers. Lady, one clerk.
Wow.
I wonder if that industry attracts
a certain breed.
Yeah,
Brian, they can be ladies now, just so you know.
Yeah.
But males, right in the name.
You know what I miss from my childhood? I miss the three-wheeled weird cart with the satchel on it and the handbrake. Mm-hmm. Guy just pushing that thing around.
That's in Balboa Island. They got like one mailman, and he just goes up and down the streets with his tri-wheel little guy.
I miss that shit. Uniform. I know women love a man in a uniform, but I don't think they're talking about a pith helmet and sanitary socks in New Balance. They're talking about a general something.
Rural male people don't have to wear the uniforms. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different union. Mm-hmm. So I wear cargo pants and just a sweat-wicking shirt and call it a day.
No kidding.
Well, God bless. Yeah. You're doing the Lord. I mean, you're not really. You're offending the Lord.
Devil's handshake.
Thanks for listening.
I hope I can just everybody's mind.
I like it. We're going to talk to Eddie Braun, stuntman, in a minute. But what I like about you talk to Eddie Braun or you talk to a cage fighter, or you talk about a guy, is the tip of the spear with threesomes and stuff. At a certain point, it's like when you talk to fighter pilots, there's a kind of a matter of fact casualness to it. There's a method to the madness. There's the way you do it. There's some technique involved here.
Serial killers.
Yes, that's right. It's just like it sounds insane to enter an octagon or to climb into an F-18 or to strap yourself into a rocket like Eddie. But at a certain point, it's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah,
here's the nuts and the bolts of it.
And that's how we know
just the nuts.
That's how we know he didn't make any of this up. He didn't say she opened the door in lingerie. He said, an old baseball jersey.
Yeah, and he opened my mind to a lot of these different positions where before I spoke to Anthony, I would thought, I would like to mount the six and look at the four. But
now you know better.
I can rest my beer on the four and watch the six.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Pro move.
Yeah. At least thought about it. By the way, when these guys, they're like, oh, yeah, we've been doing this since high school.
High school. I'm in pace. I don't know if you noticed. Like, what?
I was beating my meat in a bathroom without a shower in high school. Who pulls off these threesomes?
That's a good question.
None of our friends.
Yeah, how does this work?
No idea.
All right, let's see. Well, we're going to talk to Eddie Braun's stuntman, who's done tons of movies now.
Watch the doc.
Me too. Transformers, The Avengers, The Town. Oh, yeah, a lot of good car chase. But
He's a ton of TV shows. Remember, he was talking about Fall Guy and, you know, on and on and on. Blues Brothers.
2012, Max Zapata said to me, it's not on my list, but now I'm confused.
It's not listed first?
Oh, yeah, I'm so wrong. You're 100% right. That. There it is. Yes, 2012 on there. Yeah, for some reason I saw
it. Is that the climate change movie or the one where there was a disaster or something?
Yes, it said 2012 Transformers, and for some reason I was like, oh, it's the last Transformer or whatever. But sorry, yes, 2012. We just watched the shit out of that movie in Monterey.
Oh, no.
Now, you say what you want about the movie 2012 with John Cusack. Bedtime at Monterey is about 10:30 because we have to be at the track at 8:30. We got wheels up by 8. People are out drinking and eating at 6:30, been in the sun. Everyone just gasses out by about 10:15. And everyone just starts disappearing to their own room. I put on 2012 at 10:15. That's like a 2-hour-and-40-minute movie. Nobody left.
Wow.
We all watched it to the end.
It has its moments. There's some good moments in that movie.
I'm not even saying it's good. No, it's not. Nobody could leave.
They were compelled.
They were compelled.
The power of Cusack compels you.
But there was some limo driving, some stunt limo driving in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they drove the wheels off that goddamn thing. So we'll get into Eddie about that. And then also doing the Snake River Canyon rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket jump and everything else. First, I'll tell you about Sleeper, modern fantasy experience designed to connect people over sports with integrated chat and a sleek interface.
I know the Sleeper app.
This is
very well known and very popular amongst the fantasy community.
Well, now is the time because NFL's starting up soon, man. Sleeper users talk more to their league mates. Fantasy, NFL, NBA, even LCS League of Legends. Free, by the way. Zero ads. A genuinely premium experience. Total control over your fantasy draft and season. Redraft as well, Dynasty, Best Ball, Sleeper. Play fantasy sports and do it your way. Fastest growing fantasy platform, millions of users built almost entirely on word of mouth. Available at the App Store and Google Play and on your desktop as well. Download the Sleeper app and start playing today. All right, stuntman Eddie Braun is going to be in here and we'll talk to him right after this.